ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। ओम सदा शिव समारंभां व्यास शंकर मध्यमां हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम। टुडे विल डू द सेकंड वर्स। नमोस्तुते व्यास विशाल बुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायत पत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारत तैलपूर्णः प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयः प्रदीपः प्रपन्न पारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः। ओम यम ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्र मरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः सांगपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यम समगाः ध्यानावस्थित तद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम योगिनो यस्यांतं न विदुसुरा सुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। We had the 11th chapter last verse. ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः। विश्वरूपदर्शनयोगो नाम एकादशोऽध्यायः। मत्कर्मकृन्मत्परमः मद्भक्तसङ्गवर्जितः निर्वैरः सर्वभूतेषु यः स मामेति पाण्डव। वि सा लास्ट् 54th वर्स् लास्ट् क्लास्। भक्त्या त्वनन्यया शक्यः अहमेवं विधोऽर्जुन ज्ञातुं द्रष्टुं च तत्त्वेन प्रवेष्टुं च परन्तप। 54th verse itself is a beautiful verse. भक्त्या त्वनन्यया शक्यः अहमेवं विधोऽर्जुन ज्ञातुं द्रष्टुं च तत्त्वेन प्रवेष्टुं च परन्तप। भगवान् says finally what he means. See, to have the vision of Bhagavan, to have the vision of Bhagavan, one needs ananya bhakti. He says, jnatum, to know me, drashtum, to see me, praveshtum, to become one with me, to enter into me, to merge into me. Merging means what? Seeing oneself being non-separate from Bhagavan, to discover Bhagavan as the very reality first. It is to see, to know, to enter into Bhagavan, one needs bhakti. What does he mean by bhakti? We should not be confused. Definitely, I want to know Bhagavan, that teevra ichcha for knowledge, the thirst, craving for the knowledge of the reality is there. Jignasu bhaktihi one must have. Of course, worshipping is very important. Praying to Bhagavan is very important. But praying and worshipping should culminate in the vision of Bhagavan. So what is said here? To see, to understand, then to enter into Bhagavan, to be one with Bhagavan. Definitely bhakti is important, means jigyasu bhakti one must have. Why should we know Bhagavan? Because knowing Bhagavan is actually knowing the very truth of the whole. Bhagavan is only a name. So understand Bhagavan being the whole also. And thereby seeing that Bhagavan is the very reality. And seeing that reality as one's own self. Thereby seeing oneself being non-different from everything. Only in such a vision, one can abide in fearlessness. This is the ultimate result. Abidance in fearlessness. Nothing but abidance in one's own self. For that, one needs definitely this jnanam. So Krishna says, what he says here. So what he says. Bhakti is the only means. We should remember, love for Bhakti literally means love. Love for Bhagavan means what? We will not have love for anything unless we benefit something. So I want to know Bhagavan, that craving for knowledge of Bhagavan must be there. So Bhagavan, when Bhagavan becomes my ultimate priority, then that bhakti is what? Ananya bhakti. So I worship Bhagavan, I pray to Bhagavan only when I want some help from Bhagavan. I want to get rid of distress from Bhagavan, then I worship Bhagavan. Then it's artha bhakti. I want some security, therefore I seek Bhagavan's grace in arthi bhakti. But I want Bhagavan himself, not anything else. I want Bhagavan himself. I want to know Bhagavan. I want Bhagavan, not anything else. That what I am praying for is Bhagavan himself. Then that becomes Ananya Bhakti. It is said, when I pray to Bhagavan, listen to me carefully. When I pray to Bhagavan, I pray for things. I pray to Bhagavan, I seek Bhagavan's help and grace for gaining something else. Artha kama dharmas. So then what is then? Bhagavan becomes indirect object. When Bhagavan is indirect object of my prayer, and direct object of my prayer is something else. I want wealth, I want money, I want health, I want that, I want this. What I pray for is direct object. Whom I praying to is indirect object. Then that is Anya Bhakti. It becomes Ananya Bhakti. The direct object also is Bhagavan. Indirect object also is Bhagavan. What I pray for is Bhagavan. Whom I pray to is also Bhagavan. Then direct, indirect objects of my prayer become one and only Bhagavan. Then that is Ananya Bhakti. Is it clear? What is Anya Bhakti? What is Ananya Bhakti? I pray to Bhagavan for something else. This is Anya Bhakti. I pray to Bhagavan for Bhagavan himself. Then that is Ananya Bhakti. Therefore, Ananya Bhakti. That's why it calls Jigyasa Bhakti. The Jigyasa Bhakti is there. Then it's not enough to simply have Jigyasa Bhakti. And one to have that prayer become fulfilled, I should earn Bhagavan's grace. To earn Bhagavan's grace, I must live a life of dharma. There's no way of earning Bhagavan's grace without living a life of dharma. So knowing the value of dharma, seeing Bhagavan as the very dharma, order, when I live a life of dharma, then I also tap Bhagavan's grace, which will help me gradually in having the clear vision of Bhagavan being, who Bhagavan is, what Bhagavan is. When you really understand what Bhagavan is, you will understand all that is, there's only Bhagavan, there's no second thing other than Bhagavan. And that Bhagavan as the reality is none other than myself. I am non-different from Bhagavan. This vision will be there, that is when Jigyasa Bhakti becomes fulfilled, then that becomes converted into Jnana Bhakti. In Jnanam, you see, Jnana Bhakti is the exalted form of devotion where you see only Bhagavan. There is no I, there is no this world. There is neither I nor the world. There is no division. All that is, there is only Bhagavan. That clear vision is there, then that is Jnana Bhakti, culmination of Bhakti. And that Jnana Bhakti is the exalted form of devotion. And that is when a person becomes free from all forms of problems. So it is said, to have Jnana Bhakti, one must have Jignasa Bhakti. In Jnanam, you see yourself being non-different from Bhagavan, that is Ananya Bhakti. See, as a Jignasu, as the one who wants to know Bhagavan, when you seek Bhagavan's grace, whom you pray to is Bhagavan, what you pray for is Bhagavan, is Ananya Bhakti. When Hacha Bhakti culminates in the vision of Bhagavan Swarupam being your own self, you see yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan, which is Ananya Bhakti. Therefore, if that Bhakti is there, that is what is attaining Bhagavan, becoming one with Bhagavan, knowing Bhagavan, seeing everything as Bhagavan. And it is not physical, it is absolutely intellectual appreciation of Bhagavan being the whole. So Krishna says now, next verse, Mat karma krin mat paramaha mat bhakta sanga varjitaha nirvaira sarva bhuteshu yasamameti pandava mat karma krin mat paramaha mat bhakta sanga varjitaha nirvaira sarva bhuteshu yasamameti pandava. He says, mat karma krit, mat parama, mat karma krin. When you break it, mat karma krit. Mat karma krit, mat para, mat karma krin, mat paramaha, mat bhakta sanga varjitaha, nirvaira sarva bhuteshu. Yes, samameti pandava nirvaira sarva bhuteshu. Yes, samameti pandava. Bhagavan says, saha mam eti, hey Pandava, oh Arjuna, one of the Pandavas is Arjuna, hey Pandava, O son of Pandu, saha mam eti, that devotee. No, mam yeti means he attains me, he gains me, he reaches me. He reaches me means he has me as his own self. See, reaching Bhagavan is only expression. Reaching Bhagavan, attaining Bhagavan, gaining Bhagavan is nothing but seeing the fact of Bhagavan being the truth. Thereby seeing that the truth, Bhagavan the truth as one's own essential nature. I'm putting the same sentence, I'm going to repeat. See, reaching Bhagavan, attaining Bhagavan, gaining Bhagavan, nothing but seeing the fact of Bhagavan being the truth, very reality of the whole. And seeing Bhagavan being the truth is actually seeing the Bhagavan the truth as one's own self. This is seeing Bhagavan in the form of the truth as one's own self is seeing Bhagavan, reaching Bhagavan, becoming one with Bhagavan. So Krishna says, saha mameti, who is the person who can discover Bhagavan being the truth? Thereby, who can claim the truth as one's own essential nature? Who is that? Yaha, who? He says, mat karma krit. Mat karma krit. Mat karma krit means the one whose all one's actions are performed. The one whose all actions, whatever the person, the whole lifestyle must be like this. How should the lifestyle of a person who wants to reach Bhagavan should be? Bhagavan says here, mat karma krit, the person who lives his life performing all that he has to perform, having the in mind all the time, having in his mind, I am doing all that I am doing ultimately for me to have the vision of Bhagavan. Ultimately for me to have the vision of Bhagavan, the truth as myself. Ultimately, I am doing all my duties, whatever I need to do, I am doing, including my eating, drinking, sleeping, etc. Every action I do, I am doing from morning, from the time I wake up until I fall asleep. Whatever I am doing only having Bhagavan as my goal. Reaching Bhagavan, knowing Bhagavan, seeing Bhagavan, discovering Bhagavan as the truth, obtaining as my own self. Ultimately, for that alone, I need to prepare my mind, and for me to be able to have the grace, thereby to have that vision of Bhagavan, I am living my life, I am doing all that I am doing. A person who performs everything with this intention, with this thinking, with this attitude, is said to be the one who performs all his duties for Bhagavan. The one who performs with this attitude is the one who performs all his duties for Bhagavan. Mat karma krita. Then mat bhaktaha. Mat bhaktaha. Mat bhaktaha means my devotee. Mat bhaktaha, such a person is my devotee. Why? Once he wakes up from sleep, until he falls asleep, whatever he is doing, whichever karma he is involved in, he is doing so many things, duties, like he is doing things for earning livelihood, etc. But he does not lose sight of his goal. He does not forget the fact that I am doing all sorts of slogging I am going through. Living this life itself ultimately to discover Bhagavan. May Bhagavan become revealed to me. May the truth become revealed to me. May Bhagavan become revealed to me. So I am doing everything ultimately to prepare my mind for having the vision of Bhagavan. That must be the priority, being Bhagavan must be very clear. See, what happens when we do things, we forget. We get engrossed in what we are doing. We must be focused in what we are doing. We should not be distracted by in activities, but the goal should not be forgot. Ultimately, what am I doing this for? Ultimately, for me, even though relatively I am doing this for money, doing this for my livelihood, doing this for my comforts, ultimately, I should not forget I am doing everything to live my life, and I'm living this life ultimately to discover the truth, Bhagavan being the truth as myself. This is when such a person who has this attitude, he becomes who? Mat karma krita. Mat karma krita. The one who performs all his duties for me. Mat bhaktaha. Such a person is my devotee because he's committed to Bhagavan. Ultimately, one's commitment must be to the pursuit of knowledge of the truth in terms of Bhagavan. I am 100% totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge of Bhagavan. Only then you become a real devotee. When you discover the Bhagavan, then you become exalted devotee. So he is my devotee, mat bhaktaha. And Krishna says, mat paramaha. Mat paramaha means aham paramam lakshyam yasya. Saha mat paramaha. This person has Bhagavan as his ultimate goal. So he performs everything with the proper attitude to prepare his mind for jnanam. His commitment is to Bhagavan. Therefore, why he is committed to Bhagavan? Because Bhagavan is the ultimate goal for him. Because for him, the freedom from unhappiness, freedom from samsara, freedom from bondage, freedom from all limitations, which is freedom from unhappiness. For him, happiness, mokshaha, absolute peace, knowledge of the truth is nothing but Bhagavan for him. Therefore, for him, Bhagavan becomes the ultimate goal, absolute end. Parama Purushartha is Bhagavan for him. And he's called what? Mat Paramaha. The one for whom Bhagavan is the ultimate goal. He is said to be Mat Paramaha. So Mat Karmakrit, the person who is Mat Karmakrit, Mat Bhaktaha, Mat Paramaha. And not only that, Sangha Vivarjitaha, very important. Sangha Vivarjitaha means the person who is committed to Bhagavan, knowing the purpose of being his commitment to Bhagavan, definitely knows his permanent happiness. The happiness, his security, his protection is only in knowing Bhagavan as the truth, obtaining as one's own self. One who knows such a person, naturally, he is not no more attached to anything in the world. No more attached to anything in the world means not that he goes away from the world. The person does not detach himself physically from the world. He does not detach himself physically from his duties. He does not detach himself physically from the family or the world or the people or activities. He lives normal life. He does not detach himself physically from anything, but absolutely he detaches himself emotionally. Achyapun is called Sangha Vivarjitaha. He is free from attachment, means because he is totally committed to Bhagavan, his dependence is only on Bhagavan for his happiness and security. Therefore, he is no more dependent on the world or situations or activities or results of actions, enjoyment of pleasures for his happiness anymore. The person who is not dependent on world or people or in relationships or enjoyment of pleasures for his happiness and security is called detached. So, not being dependent on anything for one's happiness and security alone is said to be a detachment. It is an expression of vairagyam. Detachment means I am no more dependent on the world, relationships, people, activities, the results, achievements, all those things for my happiness and security, my real happiness, my real freedom, my security is only in jnanam. Therefore, such a person has a very clear, he has viveka, he has, though he has vairagyam also he has. He's very clear about his end, what he wants to achieve, how he can achieve, he is very clear. And he knows the value of dharma, lives a life of dharma, he is very clear-minded. Therefore, naturally, he is sangha varjitaha, he is free from all attachment. Such a person who is free from all attachment, who is not dependent on the world for happiness and security, thereby who does not see whenever he happens to go through a pain also, suffering also, failure also, then he does not blame the world as responsible for his lot. The person who is dependent on Bhagavan does not blame the world, does not mistake the world to be responsible for his failures in life. He does not take the world to be a source of happiness or security. Therefore, he is not dependent on the world. Simultaneously, this person, not only he is not dependent on the world for happiness and security, he also does not, he knows very well, world is not responsible for his unhappiness also. So because of this clear understanding of the fact that the world is not responsible for my failures, for my losses, for my any unwanted, undesirable situations, world is not responsible for my unhappiness. When a person understands, this person neither has passion nor does he have dispassion. No, this person has any dispassion in the sense this person has no hatred towards the world also. There's no hatred towards the world. Neither like nor dislike. There's no hatred towards the world. Such a person has no enemy in the world. If I do not mistake anybody as responsible for my unhappiness, then naturally there's no need for me to have enmity towards anybody. Sarva bhuteshu aham nirvairaha. Sarva bhuteshu nirvairaha. Means the person who does not have any enmity or hatred towards anybody in the world. Sarva bhuteshu nirvairaha. Krishna says, yaha, such a person, if he is there, saha mameti, he definitely reaches me. He will reach me. Isn't the beautiful shloka? See, for me not to have any hatred towards anybody, not to have any enmity towards anybody, I must realize the fact that nobody is responsible for any problem I have. The hatred towards other person is possible only if I think other person is responsible for my loss, for my unhappiness, for my lot. Is all the whole samsara, the problem is in erroneous perception. All erroneous conclusions based on erroneous perceptions. Then what all the hate in, when the person who hates is very sick. Not only he is sick, and he will, it's a contagion, he will also create a lot of unpleasantness around him. Because of enmity, hatred to other things, it's a very killing, worst cancerous, mental cancer that is. And this person, when he understands the fact that nobody is responsible for my unhappiness, my God, there's no need for him to hate anybody in the world. Everybody is living on so on paravda. We know we have to pity every individual here. Every individual is here. Every individual deserves pity. No, lives on so on paravda. There's nobody responsible. If this becomes understood, there's no vairi. And such a person, imagine, if there's no mind is so free, means, and he deserves having Bhagavan's vision. Krishna says, Saha Mam Eti, he reaches me, he gains me, he discovers me as the truth, obtaining as the very content of I. This is the concluding verse of 11th chapter. Matkarma Krinmat Paramaha Madbhak Sangavarjitaha Nirvaira Sarva Bhuteshu Yasamameti Pandava. Nice verse. That is why living a life of karma yoga also is not an easy joke. That is why we need to pray to Bhagavan to have abundance of grace, to be able to live a life of karma yoga, to have proper attitude towards everything in life, and just not to have any hatefulness, hatred towards anybody, not to have any enmity towards anybody. When you have enmity and hatred because of the misunderstanding, and how much you suffer mentally, and how much you contribute for the suffering of others also. Therefore, such a person reaches me. Bhagavan has given the clue how to have Vishwarupa Darshanam, Arupa Darshanam of Bhagavan. How? There's not even a fraction of a second Bhagavan is away from you. Bhagavan is choicelessly, helplessly stuck with you. As yourself. Bhagavan cannot escape and go somewhere. Bhagavan happens to be what he is. There is no choice of Bhagavan running away from you. Bhagavan is all the time with you as yourself. But you, unfortunately, you are so much your mind is turned away from Bhagavan. So draw the pull the attention of the mind from the world, turn it towards Him with the help of the Shastram. You discover Bhagavan as yourself. Is the teaching here? Therefore, it is said, Matkarma Krin Mat Paramaha. The last verse are beautiful verses anyway. Matkarma Krin Mat Paramaha Mat Bhakta Sangha Varjitaha Nirvaira Sarva Bhuteshu Yasamameti Pandava. Om Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. Atha Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su Upanishad Su Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Sri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Vishwarupa Darshana Yogo Nama Ekadashodhyayah. Okay, I can tell you briefly the contents of the 11th chapter. See, in order to understand the subject matter of the 11th chapter and also the significance of the 11th chapter thoroughly, one must have clear understanding of the contents of the previous chapters also, where the topic of Ishvara begins. The topic of Ishvara begins from the 7th chapter. So mainly 7th chapter, Bhagavan says, what is para prakritihi and apara prakritihi of Bhagavan? If we have the clear understanding of the what is para prakriti and apara prakriti, the contents of 7th chapter, and then the what is Sagunam Brahma Ishvara, Hiranyagarbha, the 8th chapter, then what is this Rajavidya, then what is Bhagavan Vibhuti? If we have some clear understanding of the contents of the 4 chapters, then it is easy for one to grasp thoroughly the content of the 11th chapter. So Bhagavan is here. Definitely what we need to understand is Bhagavan is the only material cause. Bhagavan is the intelligent cause of the universe. Bhagavan is the instrumental cause. Bhagavan is the material cause. Bhagavan is the intelligent cause. And Bhagavan is the very skill also. Therefore, the whole universe is Bhagavan. Because Bhagavan has the karanam. Bhagavan is non-different from him, the world. So, abhinna nimitta upadana karanam of the whole jagat is Bhagavan. This understanding also we must have. Then, so the world is non-separate from Bhagavan. Bhagavan is non-different from Bhagavan. That Bhagavan who is non-different from the world is there very much as the self in every being, in everyone. When you see the world, you are seeing only Bhagavan. When you see the effect, you are seeing only the cause. When you see the ornament, you are seeing the gold. When you are seeing the ocean, you are seeing the water. There is no such a thing called seeing an effect without seeing the cause. It's impossible for you to see the ocean without seeing the water, because the ocean is water. It's impossible for you to see only the chain without seeing the gold. Because seeing the chain, nothing but seeing the gold in a given form. Similarly here, when you see the pot, you see the clay only. It's not possible to see the pot without seeing the clay, because every pot is clay. In the same way, Shastram says this, dins this point, when you are experiencing everything in the world, the entire world which you are experiencing, nothing but experience of Bhagavan. Seeing the world is seeing Bhagavan only. Because Bhagavan lends existence to the whole world. Bhagavan is in the form of the very existence of the universe. Therefore, this is the another thing. So we not go in search of Bhagavan. Therefore, Krishna says the whole thing, Bhagavan and the world are non-different. World alone, Bhagavan alone is in the form of the world. So all the forms, names, and the functions, the plurality is mithya. Duality is mithya. Differences are mithya. Division is mithya. But because mithya divisions, mithya plurality, mithya differences do not exist independently without the basis of satyam. And satyam is Bhagavan's swarupam. The thing is, when you see the whole world, Bhagavan alone is in the form of the world. Bhagavan is in the world. When you say everything is looked upon as Bhagavan's vibhuti, this is the content of the 10th chapter. When you say, no, Bhagavan is not in the world, Bhagavan alone is in the world, you say, but now you say, no, Bhagavan is in the world. The whole world is in Bhagavan if you say Vishwarupa Darshanam. Got it? If you see, the whole world is in Bhagavan, it is Bhagavan's glory. You look at Bhagavan as the cause. Pot is in the clay. Ornament is in gold. Therefore, the pot doesn't exist. When you say gold alone is in the form of the pot, in the form of the ornament, if you say the whole world is, the Bhagavan alone is in the world, all the glories belong to Bhagavan. When you say 10th chapter Vibhuti, isn't it? World is, Bhagavan is in the world, means Vibhuti. No, Bhagavan is not in the world. The whole world is in Bhagavan. The whole world is Bhagavan. It is Vishwarupa Darshanam. Got the difference? Today I request all of you to do again evening japam at home. Don't miss it. Very precious. This time, the longest full day is, longest new moon day is Shivaratri day. Longest full moon day is this day. So again, evening, when the moon comes, all of you do offer some milk or something and show an aarti to Chandra Bhagavan. Evening, you have to wait for the moon to come. So we have to do some puja here. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.